All right, let me invite my guests in. Today, I am honored to have Carol Woodard. She's the president of Woodard & Associates, and also April Viola. She is a kitchen and bathroom designer. Welcome in, ladies.
Thank Hello. You.
Good to have you guys here.
Thank you.
So before we get started, this is, I think, a very, very, well, I not think, I know it's a very, very popular topic. I mean, not only whether you're in the Bay Area or no matter where you are, you guys know better than anything. Interior design is really, really important, where people live, where they raise their families, where they spend most of their time, so it's extremely important. But before we get started on talking a little bit about that, and the title, by the way, today is What is Interior Design? And the reason why we're going to cover that with the professionals and the experts is that you might be surprised at what it really is, right? Versus what you think it is. So, Carol, if you could get us started, maybe give us a little bit about your background.
Okay, thank you. Well, I started years ago, as a child, I had two passions. It was interior design or medicine.
Oh.
So when it was time to go to school, I went to UC Berkeley in the pre-med program. And somewhere along the line, as it was time to start thinking about med school, I was beginning to realize that medicine was not my area to be. There's another story for another podcast. But I realized that with medicine, it is a very reactive kind of thing, and interior design is proactive.
Mm.
You are taking care of problems before they become problems.
Okay.
It doesn't cure cancer or anything like that, but we create environments that are healthy for people to live in and to work in. So I got my degree in child psychology, which turns out to be a pretty good major.
Yeah, I was just
going to
say, that probably helps you out, huh?
Yeah, it's very helpful. And then I went on to grad school and took on interior design program. My clients, I do full service interior design.
Okay.
My tagline, if you will, is I'm a professional interior designer that transforms ordinary houses into extraordinary homes.
Great.
For clients that expect quality, value, and timeless design.
Super. Very good. Well, thanks. And welcome in. Good to have you.
Thank you.
All right, let's jump to April now. Give us a little bit about your background. Welcome in.
Hello there. I also, like Carol, felt a creative career was my path as a child. I was always creating environments to bring my family to, such as fake Italian restaurants.
Okay.
Or museums and charging. So I went to the Academy of Art University in San Francisco and did interior architecture and design.
Yeah.
I've been in my career for 20 years, and I can't imagine doing anything else. It is certainly a part of me. I can't walk into a space and not think about it thoughtfully of how it affects you, what I would do better. The first balance of my career, 10 years, was working for all sorts of folks all over the Bay Area. I've even worked on such a project as Mills Peninsula Hospital from the ground up, which was a really great journey into high design and overarching concepts and certainly how it affects people in healing. And then the last 10 years of my career, I have ventured out onto my own as an independent consultant, remodeling kitchens and baths specifically, and tying my remodeling design service to selling products such as cabinetry. So that's sort of my current business model.
Very good. Well, thank you, and welcome in again, you guys. So the title, I know, Carol, we talked about it in April as well, is that, you know, what is interior design? So maybe we could start there and tell me a little bit about what you mean by a professional interior design. The consumer is what I like to say on this show, if you guys, just so you know, is kind of like 101, just the basics. And the reason why is a lot of people, as much as they hear interior design, you know, all the, they probably really don't know, the average person, my guess is, what's the difference? What's a professional interior design? What about someone that just does bathrooms, kitchens, and architect? I mean, there's all kinds of things, right? As you guys know better than anybody. So it's just good to educate the consumer as they're listening to this. So what would be, if you could describe a professional interior designer, if you could describe that best to the consumers who are listening today?
In California, designers are certified to be professional.
Okay.
But it's a national organization. It's the national, it's the NCIDQ, National Coalition for Interior Design Qualification.
Wow.
It's a mouthful.
Yeah.
So it's NCIDQ. It's a test that professional interior designers have to take.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be a graduate of some type of, ideally, interior design.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, it was child development, but more in the liberal arts area.
Okay.
And then they need to have 2 years of working experience in order to even take the test.
Mm.
So by the time you take the test, you've had some experience already.
Got it.
The test is testing for public safety, type of things that April talked about.
Mm-hmm.
not that necessarily the aesthetics as much, although the aesthetics is a very important part of it,
mm-hmm.
but it's for public safety and the well-being of the people that occupy the spaces.
Yeah, so people should know, for instance, you may be very good, a person may be very good at have a great eye for design and colors and schemes and different things, but there's more to it than that, is what you're saying,
right.
to be a certified designer, professional design.
Well, an interior designer, a professional interior designer, mm-hmm. is also a decorator.
Okay.
That's the other terminology.
Okay.
A decorator is one that looks into the space as it exists.
I see.
And does the aesthetic things to it, furnishes it, does the things that's pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps more of the things that people think of as an interior designer, but they're actually decorators.
Mm.
And they don't require any training whatever.
I see.
Other than being able to do their
sure.
job, of course. But there's no formal training that's necessary for a decorator. So an interior designer is also a decorator.
Mm-hmm.
A decorator is never an interior designer.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense. And I always learn something, too. This is what's great about these shows. Every time I have someone on, I learn something, too. So you explained that very well. So you could have someone that's, again, an interior designer that could do all of this. But if someone is just a decorator, then that's a totally different thing, sounds like.
It's
okay.
totally different, exactly.
Okay. And do you have people in your firm? Do you guys work with all of them? I mean, you're obviously certified to do all these. Do you guys oftentimes have to seek out help in other areas, or you pretty much cover everything with your business, what you could do?
Well, my business is a full-service residential.
Yeah.
I do
okay.
do some commercial, but that's not my main focus.
Okay.
My main focus is in residential. And it includes extensive remodeling,
mm-hmm.
so, you know, it's not unusual to be with a team that tears down the walls and builds it up again and does everything else in between and puts the flowers in the vase and locks the door as we go out the door.
Yeah.
And everything else. But, yes, there's a specialty there, and that's when I will bring in specialists. And I might bring in April for mm-hmm. products, for example, in kitchens.
I see.
As full service, of course, I do in kitchens and baths as
right.
well, but April has the products, specifically the products, and I don't have the products.
Okay.
And I don't do the detailed drawings for the cabinets. Now, that's me personally. Other interior designers like to do the drawings, so they do that.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody has their own little niche.
Right.
I prefer to give it to somebody else to do, and
okay.
I like to come up with the ideas.
Okay. So that brings up another good point. So I guess these are things that people really need to know when they're interviewing and speaking to people in your profession, right? Like, and I'm guessing you guys have been doing this long enough, so you could sit down with a client and interview them and really find out what their needs are. I'm sure if you visit their home or their location and get an idea of, oh, yeah, I could help you with this, this, and this, but I'm going to have to bring in some help on these areas. Is that kind of how it works usually?
Mm-hmm. Well, in my case, I have so many experts that, you know, the reason I'm associates, I work by myself. I
uh-huh.
have bookkeepers and those kinds of
right.
helpers. But I've always worked by myself as the interior designer. When you hire me, you get me.
I see.
But my associates are all the other people that get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the contractors, the architects, the vendors, the suppliers, all the various people
mm-hmm.
get the work done. Those are the ones that make me look good.
Right.
Right. I don't do anything except come up with ideas and direct them.
Well, you got to have the idea people, and then you have to have people that can implement, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
So those are my associates.
And execute. Yeah.
Those are my associates.
Very good. Now, would you guys also be involved with helping people redesign in terms of moving walls and doing different structures and things, or would that be more architectural, and that be some a case where you might bring someone in for a different level of expertise?
When walls are being moved, that's an architect.
Okay.
And some designers cross the line a little bit, but
okay.
shouldn't. If walls are being moved, I bring in an architect or a building designer.
Okay.
But I like to be the one that tells them what to do, which walls to move.
Right.
But, of course, they bring in their own ideas right. and other things. But, yes, anytime walls are being moved, it requires an architect and sometimes a building engineer.
Yeah. Yeah, but you just have to be careful with that, right? It's not just, you know, it's always not that easy. Oh, just move that wall or change this. There could be some structural issues
oh,
and other
yes.
things involved with that. Things
yeah, like and that. I don't climb up attics to find out.
To find
not,
out.
No,
okay.
you know, I keep my nails nice.
Right. Well, we're going to keep going here. So if someone's listening to this show, obviously either, you know, live now on Facebook or later on, this is the podcast. They download the podcast and listen to it as they're listening to this. If they're trying to reach you guys for some information, maybe they have some questions for you, they want to interview, what is the best way to reach both of you independently?
My website, Viola Design, Inc.
Okay. Viola Design, Inc. And Carol?
And it's woodardandassociates.com.
Okay, all right. And you guys work together, so they could cross-reference if someone contacts either one of you, they could reference. Okay, very good. So you'd mentioned, Carol, and I guess is it the same for you, April? Do you guys have a network of all these associates around you that obviously don't work for you specifically, but you could call on at any given time for any of these different services?
Yes, one of my first classes, one of my first teachers in art school told me, you're only as good as your resources.
Right.
So here I am 20 years later, and I was lucky enough to grow up and be a native of this area, so I have tons of resources. So if I don't offer it, I can find it.
Right.
And I think that's a big part of what makes the designer you're looking for attractable. What is the product they're selling?
Right.
What is their expertise and so on? How much value do you need? A fine artist looking at your whole bathroom?
Right.
Do you just need somebody that knows a vanity? Or so these are all great questions and how we qualify when we go out.
Okay.
With our
very good. Well, we're going to take a break in just a minute or so. But before we do that, another question would be, tell me a little bit about when you meet with a potential client, you interview, you know, you're interviewing each other, right? I mean, I would guess that's a two-way street interview.
Definitely.
And is it a situation where you guys work with anybody and everybody, or sometimes you meet with people and you go, this may not be the right fit for me or them? Or do you get a gut feeling for that type of thing doing this long enough where you literally might tell someone, as much as we all want business, right? You might tell, man, I might not be the right fit for you. Does that ever happen?
All the time. But I try to qualify that by, first of all, the website kind of tells the story.
Okay.
And kind of tells the type of client that I'm looking for.
Okay.
And that eliminates a lot. It definitely eliminates the do-it-yourselfer.
Yeah.
Because that's not what I work with,
right,
whom I work with. But yes, it is a relationship thing, because a lot of designers can do a lot of the same kind of thing. It's going to end up looking different, because, of course, you're putting your personality into it as well. But it really is the personality.
Mm-hmm.
What we do is very personal. We get into closets and into bathrooms, and we find out things about our client that maybe even their spouses don't know.
Right.
So it's a very personal relationship. And so you have to like the person, and it has to go both ways.
Mm-hmm.
You have to trust each other. And
right.
That's extraordinarily important.
Yeah.
And if that trust isn't there, then it's not a good match, regardless of your abilities or what they want.
Right.
It's that chemistry.
It makes sense.
Like a marriage.
That's very, very true. It makes sense. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. This is Joe Kucher with Real Estate Radio. Live in studio today, we have Carol and April. They're talking about our topic today is, what is interior design? And so it's really important that you understand it, and we have them here to explain that to you and break those down. So, again, we're going to take a quick one-minute break. For those that are watching us on Facebook, stick with us. We'll be back with you in just a minute. Thank you.
For more information on today's program, visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com.
Today in studio, we have April and Carol. They're kind enough to spend some time with us today talking about the question is, what is interior design? And for some of you who might be listening, you might think, oh, I know what that is. But I would bet that you probably really don't, right? Because there are some differences in who you work with, what kind of licensing, and a lot of different things that you ladies are explaining today. One of the other questions I had was, when someone hires you or you're talking about a job, and I often wonder how this comes up sometimes, and you definitely, obviously, are going to give your ideas, your philosophy, you know, you're going to put your touches on that specific jobs. Are there situations where people say, I trust you 100%, Carol, April, go for it, do it, this is the plan? Or is it a balance? Sometimes some people say, well, I kind of like this, but I would like to see this change. I guess how much input goes back and forth with you guys and clients? Does that make sense?
Yes. Well, you're touching on an area now that is absolutely my expertise.
Okay.
This is my focus. So what I'm about to say is not uniform across the board.
I like that. I like non-uniform.
Okay. My specialty, actually, for my design approach is I do a tutorial with my clients. Clients, they know what they don't like. They oftentimes, most of the time, don't know what they do like.
Oh, I see. That makes sense. Okay.
But they know what they don't like.
Don't like.
And if they do like it because they're comfortable with it.
Okay.
They've seen it. It's popular. They've seen it in magazines or whatever.
Right.
But my clients are full service the whole house.
I see.
It's not necessarily that we remodel the entire house, mm-hmm. but it's looking at the whole house as one unit.
Okay.
And that being said, if they're going to be remodeling their kitchen, I want their kitchen to go with the rest of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important that they really know what that is.
Okay.
And so I go on the assumption that they really don't know what it is.
Got it.
And I do a tutorial with my clients. And I take them to the design center in San Francisco mm-hmm. for the purpose of just looking and seeing. It's like a kid in a candy store.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, it's couples. Ideally, they're not allowed to focus on any piece of furniture or anything like that. It's kind of just, what would you do if money were not an object?
Okay.
You don't have children to worry about, or cats and dogs mm-hmm. and budgets and all mm-hmm. of the kind of the negatives, if you will, to design. And we just go there, and what would you do if you could have anything you wanted?
Okay.
Husbands and wife, they have to do it separately, they're thinking. In this area, it's not a problem. The women are very outspoken,
mm-hmm.
and so are the men.
Yeah.
And here's where my child psychology comes in. I can kind of take this and make it so it works, because they're always asked, you know, how do you do this
yeah.
with couples like
right.
different things?
Right.
But somehow it works. I mean, it's
yeah.
always worked.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, we come up with a look and feel, nothing fancy names, and a color palette, because the color palette is extraordinarily important. What I'm looking for is the emotion, what really speaks to them emotionally, that makes them feel good when they go into
mm-hmm.
their house.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like you have your cell phone. You know, your cell phone is out there doing its thing all day
mm-hmm.
long, and it's working for you. And then it comes home, and it needs to be plugged in and get recharged so it's ready to go out the next
right,
day.
Right.
What I'm looking for is creating an environment that recharges them.
I see.
That really feels very, very personal.
Okay.
So I don't put myself into this at all. We come up with various likes and
mm-hmm.
dislikes and whatever. And then, of course, we put in the realities of life. Budget, things that have to stay in the house, you know, all these various things.
Okay.
Then that becomes the basis of the what I call the beginnings of the master plan.
I see.
Having nothing to do with layout or any of the things that people think
mm-hmm.
is where you start. People will tell me, you know, this is what they like and they don't like and
mm-hmm.
whatever. And on the first interview, I really don't pay much attention to that. I put it kind of in the back of my head, but I don't want to be swayed by that.
Yeah.
I want to hear them when they're doing this. Sometimes it's close to what they said.
Mm-hmm.
Very often it's very different.
Yeah.
And having done that, they have complete confidence in me.
Okay.
Because they're willing to take it outside the box. And they know that I will bring them in when it gets dangerous.
All right.
So that's my approach.
That's good. So do you go through that approach with everybody regardless? What if someone says, you know, Carol, I trust you 100%, or, you know, I'm so busy, or I'm traveling, or whatever. Can you just, I mean, do those things happen? Or?
Of course that happens.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. And if it doesn't, you know, if the house is pretty much done, I mean,
yeah.
it's beautiful or whatever, then you take what there is. That becomes the master plan
okay.
for whatever addition that you're doing. But my ideal client is the one that wants a new look.
Okay.
Just let's do it. You kind of get grown-up furniture is what they kind of tell me it is.
Grown-up furniture.
You know, they're tired
That's
of
good.
All this pass-me-downs. Think
yeah.
the way we acquire things, you know.
Yeah.
We acquire things however we do. And now they're ready to do it the right way. And for the long term, they want to stay in their house for a long term. They want to do it right. They don't want to make mistakes.
Okay.
And yes, they do. At that point, they do trust me.
Very good. April, anything on kitchens and bathrooms in terms of some of the stuff that Carol's talking about? Is it very similar? Do you take the similar approach? Is it different? I mean, I know each client's different. I understand that part. But is it a similar approach regardless of whether someone says, hey, I have this expansive living room and dining room and 6,000 square foot, and yet I also need to do my kitchen and bathroom? Is it kind of the same
sure.
approach?
Yeah, with any thoughtful designer would take
mm-hmm.
in the context of what the home is, even
okay.
the exterior. Kitchens and baths are the most expensive rooms
right,
in the home.
Right.
They offer the most value, and they have to function the best.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the most lived-in rooms. So a good kitchen designer can really make or break the rest of the house.
Good.
So it is an important room. It depends on the client. I am more specialized, so someone could come to me with a plan and just want me to really study the cabinetry
okay.
and understand that and the layout and the function and the details.
Mm-hmm.
And that alone is like designing a small city of architecture. So that's why they're just cabinet detailed designers. But I'm also a certified interior designer, and I like looking at everything holistically,
okay.
understanding the whole budget. I pick everything, not just the cabinets. My approach is because it's typically a fixed room or mm-hmm. we're looking at remodeling, and it does spell out the rest of the house, certainly if it's a kitchen or even master bath, larger remodeled rooms. They do spell out the main mm-hmm. space plan. So I tend to approach it a little bit more technically at first. My clients are a bit more budget conscious, maybe even first-time home buyers inheriting a 40-year-old mm-hmm. home and trying to squeak out that kitchen remodel for the first time. So we're looking at the budget a lot. In terms of design, I can design within any budget, mm-hmm. A, B, or C. There's an aesthetic, there's a product, there's something out there that has the essence of the ideal inspiration mm-hmm. that's out there, and I'm a good designer. I can help convey those details and create that experience. So I'm pretty flexible, though, if somebody just needs me specifically for cabinet mm-hmm. layouts and conversation, or pretty much like Carol's whole exploration of the whole house, but specific to the kitchen yeah. and bath.
There's so much that goes into it, and I'm intrigued because I have zero talent in that area. And I know what the things to stay away from. Stick with what you're good at, right? That's what we all should be doing. Hire the experts for the other things. But there is a lot, and you said mentioned something, April. There is a lot to the entire house, inside and out, right? I mean, when you look to, I would think, to design or do an interior design, do you take in consideration the exterior and how it looks? Is it colonial? Is it Spanish? Is it old this? Is it, I mean, I don't know. You guys know all these terms, but you know what I'm talking
sure.
about, right? So, for instance, someone might have an idea what they want to do to the inside, and you guys, you know, might listen to them, sit with them, and say, listen, you know, you might want to go in a different direction because of these things. I mean, that's also your job, I guess, is to, you're not always, I'm guessing you're not always the person that's going to agree with everything because this is your reputation on the line.
Right.
Yeah.
Educating.
The exterior is very important.
It
should tell the story of what you're going to see when you get inside.
Okay.
So as you're walking down the walkway to the front door, it should give you a message
okay.
of what to expect on the inside.
So if it's modern on the outside or there are certain structure, then you might expect kind of the same look and feel and flow as you
yes.
walk into the house.
In this area here, however, we don't have that many houses that have a style per se.
Yeah, that's true.
For a while we had a lot of Mediterranean,
mm-hmm.
but most of the houses, if it's an extensive remodel, mm-hmm. can be changed with pillars and posts and windows.
Okay.
So you can change pretty much anything with a minimum amount of effort. On the East Coast, they have more styles, and you have to
yeah.
stay with the colonials or
right.
the Victorians or whatever.
True yeah. styles.
The true styles, and
right.
you want to stay with it. But here, we can create the style,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of the fun part.
Right. Do you guys work more with existing homes and remodels and add-ons and things like that versus... Do you work much with brand new construction? Someone's coming and they're just tearing the place down and start from scratch, or is it just a little bit of everything?
This area has mostly remodeled.
Okay.
I've done a couple brand new.
Uh-huh.
When the economy was bad, I flipped houses.
Okay.
So it was a whole new experience, and I actually did tear it down to the bottom and build it up again.
Uh-huh.
I had to do something during that period.
Yeah, good for you.
I did it myself. But most of it in this area is remodeling, mm-hmm. but it's very extensive remodeling and add-ons and additions and second floors, and
yeah,
it's almost like a new house.
I'll bet.
When they finish.
Yeah, well, a couple of minutes left to go, but I'd like to get each of your opinions on. You know, you guys have been doing this so long; you're experts at it. You know what the difference is. I guess first, what kind of advice would you give the consumer that's listening to this right now, that's getting ready to hire someone or interview someone like yourself? What advice would you give them? You know, like, do this, interview a couple people, find out what you feel about them. I'm just giving ideas.
Mm-hmm.
What types of things might you tell a person right now if they're getting ready to interview and take this serious about, you know, hiring someone to work with them?
Well, going to the website, I think
that's a good place to start.
That's
okay.
a good place. You know the person pretty well from
okay.
the website. I wouldn't interview too many designers because then it just gets confusing.
I could give it confusing. All right.
Everybody has a different style. Mm-hmm. It just everybody does it differently.
Okay.
April does it differently than I do. Of course, hers is a little bit more of a niche, but you can talk to three designers, and it's all a little different.
Okay.
I think the main thing is the personality. Do you feel that you can communicate with
mm-hmm.
this person? Will this person hear you? And, of course, you've already seen the reputation probably from the website.
Mm-hmm.
Probably have letters of recommendations, these kinds of things. You already know that about the
right.
person. So once you meet with the person, it's a matter, do you like this person?
Mm-hmm.
Is this somebody you can work with?
Right.
And do they hear you?
Okay. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, back to the budget, always. Not that I have a budget, but my clients do. And I think I run into a lot of first-time inquiries,
mm-hmm.
first-time homebuyers, first-time remodel, and just understanding what the budget really is.
Right.
Realistically, in this area, four products, even A, B, and C products.
Okay.
And I can come in and help shed light on that, thus doing a consult. But I think that's the big one, is you kind of get into this honeymoon phase of starting to talk to designers and solicit bids from builders and start thinking about design, and you could just really not be in that realm in terms of working with a designer. DIYing is a whole nother scenario.
Okay.
I think people do not have a budget, or they don't tell you the budget. You can ask them, what is your budget? And, oh, I don't know. And I don't know if they're reluctant to tell you because they're afraid you're going to spend
it. Right.
But without knowing the budget,
it's hard to put something together.
Exactly, because you can do the same job with all different kinds of products. It's necessary.
Yeah, speaking of budget, we'll kind of finish off with that. I know, it varies all over the place, depends on products and service and all that, but how does it typically, the designer professional work, do? Is it hourly? Is it like a fee? Is it a contract rate? How does that typically work on the charge? How do you guys do that?
I work hourly with some minimum retainer based on that specific scope of work.
Okay. So you look at the scope of work, you outline this is the work that's needing to be done, and then you have a specific fee and then an hourly on top of that, typically?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I work on an hourly exclusively.
Okay.
It would be wonderful to be able to give a fixed fee, but it's impossible. It truly is impossible. I've had this conversation with literally hundreds of designers and groups and whatever. And we would all love to be able to say it's going to be X number of dollars to do this. It just doesn't work that way. And there's too many unknowns in remodeling. It's just not possible.
No, that would make sense. But I'm guessing you have some kind of range, right? Like when you looked at the scope of a project, you obviously can't stick to it. But this could be somewhere between 45 and 65 hours or something like that. I mean, is that kind of typically what you might end up with?
Yes.
Okay.
Again, it depends.
Yeah.
But I'm reluctant to even giving that because people hear, this is just a, you know, guesstimate kind of thing, but we're just all programmed to saying you hear that number and that number stays with you. And as the project grows, that number still stays with you. It doesn't increase. So I try not to do that if possible unless I really get pushed to give a range.
Yeah. And the hours would include also all the work that you're spending on-site, off-site, looking for furniture, all those different things, right? I mean, those are all the different things that you're working on that particular project.
Right. And I sell product as well.
Okay.
So that's...
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
I sell
furniture.
That's good to know. Okay, so...
Absolutely.
What benefit is that for you and the customer or the client?
Well, for the client, it's introducing them to product that they don't see.
I see. Okay.
Because, unfortunately, the furniture stores, we used to have fine furniture stores. Mm-hmm. They're non-existent now. They just aren't any places, or very, very few. And they're kind of niche places. Mm. I don't know where the consumer goes for good furniture unless they use a designer, quite honestly.
Okay.
But an interior designer has a huge amount of resources and products that people don't normally see.
Right. Okay. Very good. Well, before we go out again, we're going to finish up the show, but if you guys, thank you so much. If each of you, again, could give us an idea of where a person could reach you if they want more information about your services.
Sure. I'm April Viola, and you can visit me at my website, violadesigninc.com.
Very good. Carol?
And I'm Carol Woodard, and my website is woodardandassociates.com.
Very good. Ladies, thank you for your time. It's great, great information. We'll have you back maybe in a month or so. We'll continue, because there's a lot to cover here. We just basically scratched the surface, didn't we?
Okay.
All right, thanks again.
Thank you.
This is Joe Kuchera with Real Estate Radio Live. Thanks again for checking in. Thanks to those that are following us on Facebook, and be sure to download the podcast. You can do that at reradiolive.com. Take care.
You've been listening to Real Estate Radio Live. For more information on today's program, visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Discover more at reradiolive.com.